Hi guys, this is Pastor Chuck Allen, and thanks for joining me for another Man Church Daily Assignment. We're continuing in the journey of making sure we have a race plan. We have a plan for life that we can settle the big deals now. We know what kind of race we're going to be in. We know exactly what kind of equipment we need to get in the race. We know how to plan and prepare and train. And we've spent some time talking with Abraham about how he heard God's call, and he answered. I mean, he didn't second guess it, didn't think about it. He just did that. And God said, that's my friend. Now, the other side of that is Jonah. God said, I need you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah is like, no, I don't think so. I'm going as far the opposite way as I can. And God chases him down, and God brings the storm in his life, and then God provides his rescue. And then Jonah winds up going back to the place he was supposed to go originally, and God does amazing things through him. So today, let's talk about calling in somebody else's life. Let's talk about the Apostle Paul. Here's the guy that wrote a lot of the New Testament. And what we know about Paul is an amazing story. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, here's what the scriptures begin to tell us. A few years later, Jesus was walking along the beach and met a couple of lowly fishermen. His ministry was just getting started. He'd just recently been baptized by our friend John the Baptist, and now he was starting to preach. He encountered two brothers beside the Sea of Galilee, Peter and Andrew, and he called them. And the scripture in chapter 4, verse 19 of Matthew says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, these two brothers weren't just sitting on the beach waiting to join some new rabbi's ministry. They were busy working as fishermen. They were apprenticing for their dad and in line to take over the family business someday. Then Jesus tells them to follow, and the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 20, at once they left their nets and followed him. They left their boat, they left their nets, they left their family, all to follow a new rabbi on a journey that none of them could foresee, and they responded to their calling immediately. Now that's action, guys. If you skip forward a few years, Jesus has now been crucified. Peter and the apostles are telling everyone about it, and a young man by the name of Saul holds the coats as Stephen gets stoned for preaching about Jesus. He is the main guy. He is absolutely a terrorist against followers of Jesus. And we see a little later that the book of Acts tells us that Saul, still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, heads to Damascus to round up some more Christians so he can throw them in jail or have them stoned. But while he's on the road, he gets his calling from God. So Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. Guys, I encourage you. That's one of those passages you want to underline, highlight, and jot some notes down. Here's what the scripture says. Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So the Lord stops Saul literally in his path. And he blinds Saul, and he says to Saul, he says, I'm going to send you without sight into the city, and when you get there, you're going to know what to do. So Saul, he heard his call plainly. He got up, blinded by the light of Christ, and he had to be led by hand into the city of Damascus. He went to the house of a man named Judas, who lived on Straight Street, and had a vision of a man named Ananias laying hands on him so he could see again. Meanwhile, Jesus spoke to Ananias, telling him all that was going on and that he needed to visit Saul. Now, keep in mind, Damascus had a pretty large Jewish population, and it appears as though many of them knew who Saul was. Ananias remarks to Jesus that he had, and let me quote this, heard many reports about Saul and all the harm he has done to the saints in Jerusalem. Listen, Saul's reputation preceded him. He was like the goon or the bully on a hockey team, but he was about death. And what we know is that Saul's reputation preceded him in such a way that he was clearly not welcome as far as the Christians were concerned. Now, I imagine Saul must have been petrified, sitting in that house for 3 long days, blind, not being able to see a thing, just waiting for the Christians to come find him in his weak state so they could lynch him. And you know what? That's how I would have probably thought too. But even then, he obeyed his calling. doing exactly what God told him to do. Eventually, Ananias obeys. He finds Saul. He lays hands on Saul. And the scriptures say in Acts 9:18 that immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. And he got up and he was baptized. So what does Saul do? He hangs out with the disciples for a few days, and then Acts 9, verse 20 says, at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Later verses tell us that he grew more and more powerful in the Christian culture, learning about Christ as he went. And we know from history that he eventually wrote the majority of the New Testament. Now, guys, listen, that sounds like action to me. If you look at all these stories, just think back, Abraham. God says, leave, go on a three-day journey to Moriah, take your son, and I want you to sacrifice his life. And what does he do? He goes, and God says, that's my friend. He says to Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell them about me. And Jonah goes the opposite direction, and all of a sudden, God says, no, I'm going to love you enough to bring you back into the fold, and you're going to pay a little bit of a price to remember that you're supposed to be obedient to me. And then here comes Saul, the guy that is the Christian murderer, the terrorist. And Jesus literally strikes him blind, and so he obeys because he understood the severity of it. If you look at all these stories, you'll notice a common thread. God called all these people by name. He selected them and gave them their individual calling. Calling always starts with God, but it doesn't end there. God was present with every single one of these heroes of the faith throughout their calling. Calling starts with God, but it also goes with God. Like I said, God called these people by name, and in the same way, guys, he's calling you by name. The question is, will you answer him by name? And when you do, what is your name for God? Did you notice that in all these cases, at some point, they had to recognize and understand they were dealing with the holy God of Israel? Guys, today, ask yourself this one question. Am I answering God's call by name? Or do I not know that he's speaking to me because I don't know what his voice sounds like? This is the time that we have to determine. Has Jesus called you to the person of God in him? Do you have a relationship with him? Guys, this is simple. You can do it. God bless you. I'll see you soon.